Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday the 13th of August. Coming up today, we have more details on that fatal house fire in Faversham over the weekend. We'll also hear from the Gillingham manager ahead of tonight's clash with Swansea in the Carabao Cup. But first, taking a look at our top story, a Kent mum says she and her two young sons are being forced to sleep in their living room because of a rat infestation. Ebony Evans says the rodents have destroyed everything at their house in Hawkinge, and she even contracted Bale's disease, which is spread by the urine of infected rats. She's been speaking to Sam Lennon.
I don't really know where to go next. I've contacted Environmental Health, the MP, the Health and Safety Executive, my own housing trades executive, and I'm still met with nothing. I've been sleeping on a sofa for nearly 40 days. You know, I've recovered from Wells disease on a sofa. My bedroom's sealed off because it's so badly contaminated and now infested with mites because they left no loft hatch for so long. The loft is full of feces. I've had to cover it up myself. I don't know where else to turn. I'm so done.
Have you actually seen any rats here?
Yeah, I've seen some outside, and before they decanted me, we could literally hear them day and night upstairs, up in our loft.
Scratching in the loft,
fighting in the loft. I put my own traps up in the loft. I thought they were fighting, but apparently one must have actually got caught in my trap. It chewed its own leg off to get away. My loft is still full of feces. The house next door was finished long before mine, and it remains empty. Why?
Do you think they came from the derelict house?
Yes, they definitely came. Places for people have confirmed that mid-terrace properties don't get rat infestations like this. They have to come from an outside source.
Right. And what have the housing associations said? Because they're...
Well, at first, they decanted us for 30 weeks.
Okay.
And now we're back here with no electrical certificate, exposed waste pipes in a food cupboard, urine and feces everywhere, no loft hatch. I've nearly lost my fingers to rat traps so many times. It's just...
You mean you've damaged it, you've hurt your fingers?
Nearly. I've nearly lost my fingers a few times, picking through the mess that they've just clubbed together and left behind for us. They've destroyed everything. We were decanted for 30 weeks to come back, and it's just the same. It's unsanitational. It's disgusting.
What have the rats done in your house?
Peed. There's feces everywhere. They've chewed through our belongings. I've got to replace carpets. I've had to replace sofas.
Property management group Places for People has apologised for how long it's taken to get the problem sorted and that they are working with the family to find temporary accommodation.
Kent Online News.
A man who died in a house fire in Faversham over the weekend has been named. Well-known busker James Renane was killed when the blaze broke out at the HMO in Salters Lane in the early hours of Saturday. The 44-year-old had been living there. The fire is thought to have been started by an e-scooter. A woman's been taken to hospital with facial injuries after a serious attack in Folkestone. It happened in Underhill Road on Saturday morning. A 26-year-old from Hythe, who was known to the victim, has been charged and will appear at Crown Court next month. Fundraisers are urging thieves to return items stolen from a sale set up in Medway to make money for charity. Barbara and Graham Hatton have managed to give around £100,000 to good causes over the years. They regularly sell items from the driveway of their home, but say many are being taken without a donation being left. Barbara says it's heartbreaking.
Well, I set up in my driveway all the goods that I have as best as I can. I have plenty of signage up to say that my goods are for sale, and yet people are still stealing from me, which isn't right. I get very upset. I would like to know how upset I am, and that for the stuff that was stolen from me on Saturday just after 1 o'clock on that date, to do the right thing, bring me up the money for the chairs that they stole. There is a need out there for the charities that we raise money for, and without people like me, or we've got other friends that raise money, then these charities would be the poorer. They have a great need of the money that I personally raise, along with my husband Graham here, when we do it in my driveway, just for those charities. I have a lot of good people, and I get all my goods from people who know what I'm doing and really enjoy coming here and talking to me about the money that we raise, where it goes, and they supply me with a lot of goods, and without that I couldn't do it. So, you know, I'd just like to thank all those that gives me all these goods, because that money goes where it's saying it's going, every penny. I get very upset and annoyed more than anything, because there's enough signage in my garden for anybody to read. It's big enough, bold enough to say that my goods are for sale, not to be stolen. And when stuff is stolen for me, I can get really cross and put a signage up which I would rather not put up in my driveway to the people who are stealing, to call them thieves, because that is exactly what they are.
A Gillingham man has been sent to prison after using social media to stalk his ex-girlfriend. Matthew Rintoul was subject to a court order which banned him from contacting his victim, but he sent her persistent messages on TikTok and WhatsApp. The 39-year-old, who lives on Marlborough Road, has been locked up for 14 months. Drivers in Ashford say they're facing absolute mayhem as traffic lights at a controversial new junction have failed four times in as many months. The four-way signal control system on Badmonster Rifle Road has been in place since last spring in the hopes of improving traffic flow. Those who use the road say they can't understand why bosses ripped out a perfectly good roundabout. The operator of an amphibian and reptile club which holds fairs across Kent has hit back at suggestions the animals are unfairly treated. The Animal Protection Agency claims welfare cannot be safeguarded in temporary makeshift environments and has accused such clubs of having animals displayed and sold in small plastic takeaway tubs where they are denied basic welfare requirements. Mark Elba set up his exhibitions in 2023 as a way of uniting fellow reptile lovers and to give them an opportunity to share knowledge.
By far the best pet that you could have. Here with me now is Burma, a Burmese python native to Burma, the island of Burma. We haven't been very creative with her name. Amazing animals. And as you can see here, I am handling Burma. She is in shed. She is a very, very intelligent animal. She will tell me when she's had enough by hissing. And they are mostly all bark and no bite. These animals are misrepresented typically as being aggressive predators. In captivity, however, they are intelligent enough as well, which we don't often give them credit. They're intelligent enough to understand between prey and handler. And raised correctly, with the right equipment, with the right knowledge, they can be absolutely amazing animals.
He recognises that historically these events have been mismanaged, but he says his events are nothing like the reptile markets of the past and that they go to great lengths to ensure animal welfare.
Kent Online News.
A teenage boy has been targeted by five men in an attempted robbery in Gillingham. They approached him and his friends in Wood Street and demanded he hand over his phone, bag and shoes. One of the group reportedly had their mobile stolen. A controversial speed limit change on the A20, which led to thousands of drivers being fined, is set to be scrapped. The stretch of road between Sidcup and the Swadley interchange was reduced to 40 miles per hour last October because of safety concerns over surface water flooding. It's understood more than 60,000 fines have been issued. The limit's due to be lifted after works carried out later this month. We're being urged not to leave any mess behind when we visit nature reserves during the warmer weather. Kent Wildlife Trust says they've seen a rise in litter and vandalism at some of their sites over the past few days. Lucy's been chatting to area manager Steve Weeks.
During this lovely weather, we want people to be able to come and enjoy Kent Wildlife Trust's nature reserves. But the problem is when we get more people on site, there's always a few people that spoil it for everyone else. And we've seen an uptick in rubbish being left, dog mess, disposable barbecues, all those sorts of things.
How does that feel for you having to go to those sites and see all of that?
Yeah, it's a problem because not only does it detract from staff time to be doing their jobs to actually manage the nature reserves, it also poses a risk to wildlife as well. Wildlife can become entangled in the strings on the balloons we often find hanging around. Insects get trapped in old discarded bottles, and when they build up in there, they attract in other things like bowls. And because glass is very smooth, if the bottle's at the wrong angle, it can form a trap, and you end up with finding sort of lots of dead bowls and mice within these bottles. So it can be a real problem. Because the weather's so dry at the moment, anything that's discarded that could light start a fire is a particular issue. We don't allow barbecues on our nature reserves just because of that risk, really. Just discarded few embers can set the whole place alight. And we ask people to be responsible about discarding cigarette butts, and again, with glass bottles, in this really strong sunlight. All it can take is the sun shining through just a broken bit of glass. It can be enough to ignite very dry grass.
And of course, in Kent, we've got such beautiful countryside, and it's such a privilege to be able to go out and enjoy these nature reserves. Why do you think some people aren't respecting that?
I don't know really. It's a difficult one. Sometimes a lot of our reserves don't have litter bins, just because we are a charity and we don't have the resources to regularly go and empty them. So maybe people think they don't need to take their rubbish home with them. But we'd always ask people to do that. And if some of the sites that do have bins, if you find the bins are actually full, then again, please take your rubbish home.
What would your message be to perhaps families who are out enjoying the summer holidays at the moment? We've got this lovely weather at the moment, going out to some of these nature reserves, and they might think, oh, a bit of litter, that doesn't matter, but it does, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. So we'd encourage everybody to get out and enjoy our nature reserves. But if you do, please follow the simple rules of if you bring your stuff along, take your rubbish home with you, or use the bins that are provided on site. If you have a dog with you, please keep it under close control or on a lead, and please pick up after your dog.
Figures out today show another drop in unemployment in Kent. 39,100 people were claiming out of work benefits in the county in June. That's down by 210 compared to the previous month. There's set to be closures on the A249 as work on a multi-million pound improvement project continues. The road will be closed in both directions while a new bridge is installed at the Grovehurst roundabout development between Iwade and Kemsley. It'll shut at 8 p.m. on August 30 for 3 days. You can find more details at Kent Online. A beach access road in Folkestone is closed for 3 days for investigations into a series of landslides. Huge cracks appeared in the promenade at the Warren in April, and part of the town has been affected by ground movement. Network Rail say they're looking for a permanent solution. A major milestone has been reached in the construction of a wellbeing centre at Eleanor Hospice in North Kent. The site on Cold Harbour Road in Northfleet is expanding to help more people. Alex Langridge has been speaking to operational lead for wellbeing at Eleanor, Andrew Loudon.
So here is quite an auspicious occasion. This is the topping out ceremony for the new wellbeing centre that's being built at Eleanor. It's been a long time coming. This has been a project that's started several years ago, and the building works themselves have been in place for coming up to kind of 18 or 19 months. Fingers crossed to be finished in November, but this tile on the roof that's been placed today is the final tile that makes the building watertight, and then it's just the internal works to be finished.
And obviously, as you say, it's been a long time coming, so how does it feel to kind of, I guess, be nearly at the end?
We're really excited. So the wellbeing services that I oversee, we had a decision a couple of years ago. What would we do? We could close our services for the years that it would take for the building, or we could find somewhere else to be based. We were lucky enough to work in partnership with the Manor Hotel down at Hever Court Road, who have given us their premises to utilise, and we were able to deliver our groups and services to the best of our abilities there. What this new wellbeing centre allows us to do is do more groups, different groups, groups that will meet the needs of our community and so much better. And so my team is chomping at the bit to get back on site, and equally to be back on site and working with the teams collaboratively, communicating, which is one of the things that kind of separates hospices from other healthcare areas, is that we're able to communicate so easily with one another and work so closely together.
The work is set to cost more than £5 million, £2 million of which was donated by the Collier Ferguson Charitable Trust. Nicholas Fisher is chairman of trustees at the non-profit organisation.
About 30 years ago, maybe a bit more, James Collier Ferguson said James donated the land on which the hospice was built as part of the project. The hospice was built, I don't know whether or not we contributed in those days, I wasn't a trustee. And we, over the years, have supported the hospice and very pleased to do so. And then when we had our 50th anniversary in 2019, ahead of that, we wanted to do some capital projects. We put the word out, and Eleanor wanted to build this incredible wellbeing centre to extend the services they could offer to the local community, which is one that we as Collier Ferguson are very involved with, because a lot of our original land holdings came from this area and all the building around us. So we wanted to put something back, and we determined that we would give a substantial donation to kickstart the project in the hope that other donors would come in, which clearly they have. And we also donated the rest of the land freehold to the hospice, so it owns absolutely everything on which it sits, which is wonderful. And we're absolutely thrilled to be doing that. We're all about communities and community projects at Collier Ferguson. And because this community is a very important part of our background, it's wonderful that so many people have been helped over the years, and we want to keep that going with the outreach. In fact, I was talking to somebody yesterday, completely random, who I'm working on a matter with, nothing to do with the trust, and mentioned that her great aunt had come here last year for her last few days and had very fond memories of visiting then. And it's, so it's extraordinary. And everyone you talk to in this part of Kent knows Eleanor extremely well. So we're delighted to be part of the story. But Eleanor's the story, not us.
The Wellbeing Centre will feature new counselling rooms as well as upgraded play therapy spaces for children. It'll also serve as an educational hub for health and social care professionals offering specialised training in end-of-life care.
Kent Online News.
Lifeboat crews in Sheerness have been called to help a boat that was reportedly being harassed by jet skiers. The RNLI say two people on board were left shaken and wet after being targeted in the swale on Sunday evening. They were later sent to rescue two jet skiers after a machinery failure. The Coast Guard helicopter lifted them to safety. It's understood the two incidents were unrelated. A family-run bus operator based in Ashford has closed after nearly 50 years. Kent Coach Tours has been transporting residents and pupils across the county since it was founded in the mid-70s. The company's been shut down following the retirement of its directors. A home in West Kingsdown has been left with a half-finished extension after neighbours made a complaint to council. The work on the bungalow in London Road was stopped after it was 70 centimetres higher than expected and blocking out sunlight. Sevenoaks Council has since refused two proposed changes and the latest application has been deferred by planners. Head to Kent Online to see the garden-turned-mini rainforest near Dover. What was once a regular garden consisting of no more than a patch of grass and a dated patio has been transformed by two brothers. Amazon-style plants and a koi carp pond are just two of the new features. Chris Bowers and brother Oliver have been speaking to the podcast.
Yeah, so we bought the house 5 years ago. It was nothing but lawn, not one plant. We had ducks from the last place and they were just trashing everything I put in there. So they ended up getting rehomed, which meant I could start planting. The rest is history. Me being me, which upset the other half at the time, the garden came first, didn't it? I mean, the house was rack and ruin, but it was kind of left. We did the bare essentials just to keep her happy. But yeah, I was in the garden, and we bought it in June, so it was the height of the summer. Most of my time was spent out here brainstorming, I think, and just, yeah, it's pretty much how it was. There wasn't a lot to work with, if anything.
I think you've taught yourself so much as well, haven't you, from watching YouTube massively. Channels of other people doing similar things, maybe bigger versions, and you've kind of just built on your own knowledge, haven't you, and taught yourself a lot as well. The influence was from our grandparents, definitely, wasn't it, I think? Obviously parents as well, but definitely our grandparents, and there's photos of us as small children, isn't there, of holding frogs and doing gardening in Nan's garden and Grandma's garden, and we've just always been into it. So obviously Chris's done just an insane job with this.
And this is the end product.
Relatively small garden has just turned it literally into a jungle.
And while you're on the main page of our website, you can see our reporters' reviews of the UK's most photographed beach. Botany Bay in Broadstairs has been hashtagged more than 116,000 times in posts on Instagram. You can find out what Millie thought of the car park, refreshments and toilets.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham are taking on championship side Swansea in the Carabao Cup later. They'll be hoping to build on a good start to the season after beating Carlisle United 4-1 in League 2 at the weekend. Gill's manager Mark Bonner says he'll be mixing up the squad to give other players a chance.
In one sense, it's an extension of pre-season for us to get those players fit and up to speed because we need them, but it's a tough game, we know that. It's also an opportunity for us to go and test ourselves in an unbelievable stadium against a top team. So it will be what it will be. We're going to have a right good go at it. We're going to see how much of the ball we can have. We're going to see how difficult we can make it for them when they've got it, and use it as a sensible day's work for some in terms of trying to maybe get 45 into a few. Definitely be a 5-sub game for us. And we'll try and make sure everyone's in the best health possible for next Saturday. But we'll have a go at trying to get through in the cup as well.
Johnny Williams scored one of the goals in Saturday's match. He's excited about the team they're building under the new boss.
We've got a great group of boys down there, some real characters, and we've all bonded really well. And it's important when you want to achieve something as a team, you want to get on as a group and look forward to coming in every day and, you know, work hard when the time is right, but also enjoy being in each other's company, and it's been great, and I think we've got that blend here So yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season, and also the new lads have offered that freshness, that hunger, that desire, pace, energy, and have slotted in really well. So they'll just be starting as well. It's just the start.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.